Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Ooh, we're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. So glad you've joined us. Magical engineer Frank and I have a great show. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Hey, we're going to be talking about the hostile healthcare environment. Oh, there's some secrets. Some things are boiling up from the bottom. And also, we're going to be talking about some interesting vaccines and digestive issues, acidosis and things. So we got lots to talk about. And a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform, lifting them up in prayer, you know. I do. I pray for righteous leadership in this country. You know, what would this country do if a majority of the people hit the knees in sincerity and repentant nature, asked the Lord for forgiveness and his guiding hand? Getting this country back on track, right? It happened over and over again for Israel, you know? and they got out of hot water. So, you know, Mark Twain says it's really not what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that is not so. And what do we know that's not so with this presidential election and everything else that's going on? I think that's kind of contributing to everybody's uneasiness, anxiety, and, you know, but sometimes, you know, we just got to seek the Lord's face and in faith leap forward like a gazelle and trust in him. And so let's lift up our prayer saying, we trust in you. We need your help. Please help. And mind the time. It grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. In the quacker tonight, the European Union is on the march here to clean up their food supply. Apparently, they want to remove these toxic levels of arsenic that seem to be coming up in brand name cereals. One of the toxic elements that they're seeking is, you know, get rid of the toxic that seems to be in a lot of rice products. You know, rice readily takes up arsenic that's in the soil and water that it's growing in. So European Union regulators are testing brand name rice cereals, and the results were, you know, kind of shocking. The general population, they say, has been consuming excessive amounts of arsenic based on these cereals. So products like Kellogg's Rice Krispies and Heinz Smooth Baby Rice far exceed the European Union's arsenic limit. 58% of the cereals tested exceeded those limits, especially for babies and children. So the arsenic's toxicity is linked to heart disease, skin and bladder and lung cancers. It really doesn't matter if you're eating organic rice products, they say. Organic, non-organic, it all is in the levels of arsenic that comes from the quality of water and the soil the rice is grown in. So they tested a slew of cereals in Great Britain, found that over half of them contained unhealthy levels of arsenic. So they've ushered in these new regulations under their new food standard agency initiative. So they say while short-term low doses of arsenic exposure aren't immediately harmful, they say it's the long-term exposure that they're concerned about. And they say Britons, on average, consume five times more rice today than they did 40 years ago. Now, red rice from France contained the highest levels of arsenic, 310 parts per billion. Italian brown rice contained 160 parts per billion on average. And Basmati rice from India was the cleanest, only 40 parts per million. Kellogg's Rice Krispies measured well over the limit set for children, clocking in at 188 parts per billion. All right, last but not least in the Quack Report, guess what? Meditation can change your brain. That's right. You know, they long time people say the benefits of meditation increases your health. By popular demand, people say, you know, it reduces your stress, maybe your risk of various diseases, improves your well-being, and, you know, just helps make your brain better. Okay, but all that was just based on claims with few experimental studies to support it. But now there's the study that's published in the Biological Psychiatric Journal. I'm sorry, Biological Psychiatry Journal. I'll get it right. Says it has some scientific breakthroughs now, saying that thoughtful, mindful meditation is unlike the placebo, that can change the brain of ordinary people, improves their health. So it has some sort of influence on the biochemicals and neurotransmitters and therefore your health. Just imagine what daily prayer will do for you when you're connected to the higher power that created that brain of yours. What up, right? And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about the hostile healthcare environment that we're in. Oh, man. Socialized medical system. The socialized medical system of other countries is offering us a picture of what Americans' healthcare is going to be in the future. So is it really a surprise that we're going to learn that such systems are kind of riddled with supply, staffing, and even drug availability problems? Now, in 2012, the healthcare report from Canada suggested there is a morale problem within the ranks of their healthcare professionals. The morale problem goes beyond the tradition of giving the new guy a little hard time. According to some healthcare employees, working inside the healthcare industry has become hostile. What? Yeah. An environment breeding hostility undermines the healthcare treatments that patients expect to get. So are patients expected to believe and agree that this new normal for global healthcare is, you know, hostile? Well, we're going to take a look. Yes, we are. So what's happening? What are we talking about when we say healthcare has become more hostile? Well, is it psychological or is it a physical abuse thing? Well, in healthcare, are we surprised when employees are mistreated, picked on, humiliated, or roughed up? Are we talking about workplace bullying? Is that what we're doing? Well, workplace bullying became well known in 1992 after a book called Bullying at Work: How to Confront and Overcome It was published. Well, according to experts, if a workplace has bullying, it usually is a combination of different tactics involving hostile communication and behavior. So in general, it is a mistreatment or abuse which is intended to be threatening. It most definitely disrupts the workplace and often sabotages progress, quality control, and safety. Therefore, in the hospital or other healthcare environments, if there is systematic aggression and manipulation of work, it creates this unhealthy and unprofessional place to work, and it's unhealthy for patients to receive adequate treatment. So workplace bullying is not restricted to coworkers. Sometimes the bully is the boss. So according to the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the most common complaint filed by an employee is the supervisor or owner retaliated, harassed, or bullied the employee after he or she refused to accept illegal discrimination. Well, and you know, this is going to affect people's bottom line. If socialized healthcare is going to breed unhealthy work environments, it will impact hospitals and other facilities financially. So according to Catherine Matisse and Karen Garman, they define workplace bullying as, quote, enormous monetary damage to an organization's bottom line, end of quote. I tend to believe that. We're going to get into it in a minute. And, you know, are we over-exaggerating on this? Well, are the reports that there is hostility in healthcare workplaces over-exaggerated? Well, according to Patricia Barnes, she's the author of Surviving Bullies, Queen Bees, and Psychopaths in the Workplace. She reports that it's valid if there are varied tactics of abuse being used, which are characterized by repetition, duration, escalation, power disparity. You know, in other words, there's not a level playing field to defend yourself, and a willful intent. In other words, the hostility is not an isolated incident, and it creates a lot of job stress because whoever is in charge of the workplace allows it to continue. So unlike sexual harassment, which is well-defined, has legal definitions, bullying has yet to have that well-established, unified legal definition. Try to convince a judge that your workplace is uncivil, disrespectful, you have difficult people there, you have a personality conflict, you experienced ill treatment and were called insubordinate when you resisted the bullying. Okay? And I suppose that's going to fly in a court. Well, according to the 2010 WBI Zogby survey, 13% of U.S. employees report they are bullied at work, and 12% say they have witnessed it. Just witnessing it is a problem. apparently. The Workplace Bullying Institute reports that women are more of a bully target than men by 57%. Men are more likely to participate in bullying behavior by 60%. So if a woman is the bully, it most often she's going to bully another woman by about 71%. That's the target. So get this, though. This was an interesting stat. Divorced or separated individuals are bullied more at work than the married, widowed, or never married workers. Huh? Yeah. Statistics show that the higher educated individuals more likely to bully compared to the less educated or just the high school educated worker. Well, here's some occupational hazards. In a 2010 survey, it showed that people who work in protective services, community and social service occupations, public administration, and retail trade industries have a high rate of bullying by 16 to 25%. Okay. Well, let's just check out the bullying profile. You know, let's just take a peek. You know, authorities really don't want to admit that they are constructing profiles on people, but they are. Now, there is a profile that accurately describes the bully personality. In such a profile, the bully tends to deliberately select its targets. So it's not random. It's not by chance. They usually have a particular preference for the type of person they target, which may explain why divorced and separated people are more often the victims of bullying, right? Okay, so any highly trained psychological expert, psychologist, psychiatrist who's experienced in the bully personality will tell you that, well, they'll tell you that the bully often will target the weak, a person with some sort of flaw, someone who may be insecure, have low self-esteem, or some kind of disorder or disability. So they prey upon the person that's more vulnerable. So the bully will leverage those weaknesses to their advantage, and having a bully on your back, they say, is like experiencing emotional blackmail. So the bully also has a method of operation. Bullies will kiss up to their boss while intimidating subordinates. Here are a few examples. A bully conceals his mistakes and blames them on others. The bully keeps his target under constant stress. The bully's power play is fear, not respect. A bully can manipulate an unknown third party to fulfill his or her agenda. A bully withholds information from coworkers and subordinates, so the flow of information is from the top down only. Goodness. A bully blames conflicts or problems on subordinates and on their, quote, poor attitudes or character flaws. A bully creates an unnatural work environment. Employees are constantly on edge. And a bully's work environment compels employees to behave or react abnormally. It encourages a survival instinct of fight or flight, a lot of adrenaline reactions, such as an emotional outburst as a result of pressure. You know, there was this evangelist, a former baseball player, Christian evangelist, Billy Sunday, and in the 1920s, he says this: reputation is what people know about you. Character is what God and your spouse knows about you. So true, right? Can we just tattoo that on something? Right? Let's just embroider that on. I don't know. Well, other agencies are going to rebuke this profile thing and state that, you know, hey, bullying is a type of generic harassment, or it's a non-specific harassment, and should not be based on one person's, the victim's, perception. Total BS. According to research by Hull and Cooper at the Manchester School of Management in the United Kingdom, they say the worst workplace bully is always the supervisor, and are the worst perpetrators. Second place, they say, goes to the coworker bully. Third place goes to the bully customer. that is a regular customer an employee has to encounter. And last category listed was the bully behavior of entities with really big sticks, such as an organization, an institution, or government. Well, you know, a threat's a threat, right? What a hostile work environment does to an employee is it threatens them, it threatens their professional status. It threatens their personal standing. You know, it undermines their integrity, their character, their reputation. It threatens them by isolating them from opportunities, physical, social, career opportunities. It threatens to overwork them due to undue stress and pressure. It threatens to destabilize them with unfavorable evaluations, demotions, and professional sabotage tactics by setting them up to fail. Man, I tell you, I bet you're sitting there right now thinking about somebody you knew way back when at a job, right? Or maybe you know somebody at work now, right? Well, if a hospital healthcare professionals are forced to cope in hostile environments like this, well, the patient care is going to suffer. You know, here are some examples of real accounts of bullying reported by some nurses. Okay. One goes, I'm an ICU nurse and my patient was crashing. I ran out into the hall, asked my coworker to help me, and she refused, saying, going on a smoke break now. Wow, that's cold. One other one said, I can't ask questions. The older nurses look at me like I'm stupid. Well, that's how you learn. You ask questions. Well, and it's not just, you know, we're talking about coworker bullying here. We're not so much talking about patients bullying, although that does happen too. Okay, one other nurse says, after I told the younger nurse that I couldn't pick up her extra days to cover her vacation, my hair was pulled 3 times during the shift. That's petty. Well, let's look at an insider report. According to Kathleen Bartholomew, she's an author. She's also a nursing professional, national speaker. She's an expert in physician-to-nurse communications. She reports that bullying in the healthcare profession is higher than other professions by 30%. She states that the Porath study indicated that bullying is higher in Canada healthcare than it is in U.S. So the bullying that's going on in healthcare was so bad in Canada that the government passed the Bully Busting Bill in 2010 after a nurse died as a result of bullying. So she reminds us that many of these disruptive behaviors are hidden from general view. So why is healthcare more vulnerable to workplace threats? Is it the stress of the profession? Did socializing the healthcare encourage this threatening behavior? Well, it may have something to do with the longer wait time for patients, the lack of cash flow to hospitals, the limited staff, the limited supplies, and other resources. Now, according to Bartholomew, bullying in healthcare translates to low morale, low patient satisfaction, low patient safety, and low quality of care. And she adds that healthcare professionals cannot offer quality care if they can't think straight because they are upset. Now, research shows that just witnessing upsetting behavior in the workplace impairs cognitive tasks and productivity. So if you're not the target, but you witnessed it, you're so upset, you may give somebody the wrong dose. Think about it. So bullying in healthcare explains the high turnover and the burnout of nurses that they're experiencing. And Bartholomew reports that hospital managers list spending 40% of their time resolving workplace conflicts. So this type of work environment exhausts everyone, and eventually managers just begin to ignore the nurse-to-nurse conflicts or the nurse-to-doctor conflicts. also, if it's the nurse complex, they also log that in as horizontal hostility. Really? While some hospitals are taking note of the bullying, they're saying it's not a soft stuff matter. It's not an HR issue. Research is showing that bullying problems cost the hospital $11,000 per nurse and impacts patient safety, translating into urgent patient events. So nurses can become so rattled by the bullying, they can make medication mistakes. So the other reason some hospitals are not quick to nip this problem in the bud is that fear keeps victims from reporting the problem. Well, here's a quote from the American Association of Critical Care Standards. They say nurses must be proficient in communication skills as they are in clinical skills. So they encourage them to come forward. I have to wonder if the social media has anything to do with this too. You know that, you know, because we also have that added element of all this social media where those are participating want to be liked. And has this social media added this glass house effect where people can't take any negative feedback, right? Is the instant feedback, the tweets, the texts, and so forth, impacting self-esteem to the point that people can't emotionally function normally? I'm just wondering. Yeah. Well, Kathleen Bartholomew says this, unmanaged workplace conflict results in high costs of personal turnover, absenteeism, loss of productivity, and in some instances, loss of life. Ooh, that's pricey. So what's the answer? Well, human behavior is sometimes very wicked. And perhaps the healthcare profession will need to adopt some of the similar strategies law enforcement had to take, you know, by putting cameras on police, right? So there is really nothing like a video to catch the evildoer in the act. At the very least, nurses who are victimized should invest in a voice-activated recorder and have it on their person all the time they're at work. However, 93% of the communication is nonverbal. That's, you know, abusive. And the video can document the nonverbal assaults. So, you know, let the audio, let the video witness for you all these hostile behaviors that you've been enduring if there's no manager or director on call. Schedule a meeting later. Play it for them. So if more new nurses took a proactive approach of protecting themselves, 60% of them wouldn't quit within 6 months, contributing to the nursing shortage. So within the healthcare profession, there are also conflicts between not only the nursing staff, but nurses and physicians. So this bullying happens way too often. It's got to stop. It's causing a problem. It really is. It really is. I can see by the time I get to take a break. But I got a little bit more on this on the other side of the break. And we're also going to be talking about a vaccine, some other things. We'll be right back. Don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said,
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. easy to use, and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture and Tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Takes you back, doesn't it? Well, the first part of the show we were talking about, you know, a little bit of hostile healthcare. Of course, during the break, Frank weighing in about, you know, sometimes the nurses are just not qualified to do the job they're doing, and it's probably they're getting yelled at by staff because they're just not doing a good job. Hey, there's a couple of sides to every story, I know. But I was just reporting how the workplace is, and if you have to go to the hospital, just, you know, get ready. I'm not saying every hospital has it, but, you know, it's just a trend that they're seeing. All right. You know, we just have to be proactive, right? Being proactive with our health can help us avoid any hostile healthcare environments as much as possible. So, you know, I used to work in the healthcare industry. I've worked in intensive care, anesthesia, neurology, physical therapy departments. And although I've not put on a healthcare uniform in over 20 years, I can tell you things have changed in healthcare. So honest healthcare professionals will tell you their treatments are either trauma stabilization or symptom reduction. They recognize they don't cure diseases. So our job is to prevent disease from getting a foothold or reversing diseases using whole food medicines God gave us, right? So cleansing the system of toxins, putting in organic nutrition, boosting the immune system actually works with your body's own defenses to overcome health problems. So you have that power right now. So learn to deploy it. Call Apothecary Herbs. They'll help you figure it out. They have organic herb cleanses and immune boosting formulas. Give them a call, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Ask for a free product catalog. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. Or you can visit them on the website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. You can get there, type in an herbtalklive.com, herbtalklive.net. Lots of ways to get there, apothecaryherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless because it's you, knowledge, and tools all together working it out. And free money-saving coupons on their website so you can save on your order there. Check it out. All right, we're gonna go move on to the new bat vaccine. We've talked about it before. Yeah, we've talked about the fact that science is intentionally developing ways to take viruses that infect the animal kingdom, the animals there, and enable them to bridge that human to animal gap and systematically infect humans by, you know, just taking down those defenses humans have to animal viruses. Now, I believe one reason for this is to create a threat of pandemics and then to sell us vaccines. Yeah. So a recent news release from the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill stated they've identified a type of SARS virus that infects bats and can now threaten the lives of humans. This new coronavirus is called SHCO14-COV. Was discovered in Chinese horseshoe bats. Of course, the official statement is that the virus mutated in order to jump the gap to infect humans. But, you know, I reported years before that, scientists were out in caves looking for bats because they knew bats could carry up to, you know, a dozen viruses each. Gonna harvest some new disease. They were disease hunters. That's what they were. So science is really not officially stated if this new bat virus disease is spreadable within the human population. However, they are already suggesting a vaccine made for it. So what does that suggest? People need to discern between emerging disease and engineered disease and how they can protect themselves. Okay. My approach is the same no matter what. You know, it's God's good herb medicine and it's Psalms 91. That's what it is. Well, they are designing some really bad superbugs. According to the University of North Carolina, this bat virus is going to enter the human population using the same receptors that bats have in getting it. Once inside, they say the virus replicates in lung cells. And science has been studying this bat virus since 2003 and has identified 5,000 different viruses in bats. Well, they got quite the arsenal, don't they? They have a large pool of viruses that they can manipulate to make infectious diseases from. Let me read you this quote by Dr. Ralph Barrick, professor of epidemiology at UNC. He says, studies have predicted the existence of nearly 5,000 coronaviruses in bat populations, and some of these have the potential to emerge as human pathogens. So this is not a situation of if there will be an outbreak of one of these coronaviruses, but rather when and how prepared you'll be to address it, end of quote. Right. Well, so how do we get the population of the world to accept the scientific reports on these new disease threats as being truthful? Well, according to Elena Leshookite, PhD, who is studying social construction, she says you use metaphors. She studied the bird flu outbreak and the media reports on it and noticed that more people were dying from other diseases than the bird flu. She also picked up on the scientific community media use of natural disasters to describe the threat of the bird flu. They linked it. So they were using metaphors of war and natural disasters to whip up anxiety and fear regarding the bird flu. For example, the newspapers compared the bird flu to storms, earthquakes, floods, to imply destructive force. And she did some research to check and found that in the media, the bird flu was used with words like battle, fight, weapon, combat, eradicate, defense, and front line. She concluded that the use of these military metaphors were used to imply a war on bird flu rather than on the animals that carried it. She also definitely connected the dots on how the zoonotic diseases, those animal diseases which are now supposedly infecting humans, are described in the media. She says they explain them in the use of metaphors, and in this instance, they have a cultural effect which is dictatorial. They dictate the solution that needs to be implemented. So she adds that the use of these metaphors, people perceive the reports as taken as truths, and so then they line up for the vaccine. See, well, science understands a whole lot. They do. They science fully understands that disease can radically change a population landscape. So according to Scientific Collections International, a lot of research is going on in institutions all over this world, and there is this global network of scientists and organizations that share their disease research. There is a museum which contains specimen collections of animal, plant, and human disease. The scientists have access to this collection, and we're told that they use it for, you know, tracing patterns and history of disease. So this disease museum has tissue repositories and a large selection of strains of disease. And scientists can study these disease genomes and their sequences, compare them to other diseases. And obviously this research has led scientists to identify, you know, weaknesses and strengths in various pathogens and how they can cause infection. So turning off a gene here or turning on a gene there offers scientists the capability of manipulating a pathogen and the use of receptors in such a way that it can cross over from infecting a specific species to infecting a new species, you know, like us two-legged humans. So let's take a look at the numbers. So if we look at the time frame of how diseases evolved down through the centuries, we find an explosion of new diseases in the last 115 years. According to Echo Health Alliance, 75% of the emerging diseases that are infecting humans have come from animals. They report that some of those most infamous diseases of the 21st century, AIDS, HIV, SARS, H1N1, avian influenza, are all animal related. So we're expected to believe that the global warming and the modern travel have been catalysts to the emergence of these zoonotic diseases. In other words, it's all our fault, right? Modern society. So the U.S. has created the Emerging Pandemic Threats Program, also known as EPT, with the Agency for International Development. So the EPT projects a society paralyzed by pandemic fear, and they state that their duty is to protect, respond, identify, and prevent pandemics. So have you not noticed that certain regions of the world are what I call hotspots for pandemics? These hotspots are also testing ground for the new medicines. They infect an area, and they test the medicine. Some hot spots have been Bangladesh, Brazil, of course you see it now with the Zika, China, Colombia, Indonesia, Africa, Malaysia, and Mexico. So people in these regions have their blood and urine tested for evidence of disease. Predictive maps have been created for potential outbreaks, and this information influences policy of governments. Well, you know, some people have speculated there's going to be an Armageddon virus. Well, in 2012, the British were all in a panic over someone from Glasgow who went to a wedding in Afghanistan, returned with a tick-borne virus, and died shortly after in a UK hospital. They traced the virus to a tick often found on Africa or Asian domestic animals. The UK does not get a lot of travelers from the far Middle East and can have strange infections. They do get a lot of travelers, I should say, from there. So they see a lot of strange stuff. So it is kind of incredible that virologists at the hospitals would be utterly surprised that an animal virus now infects humans, and they seem stunned by it. There are scientists that have sent out, they're sent out to hunt for viruses and to study them. A few years back, I talked about scientists were on a five-year hunt for new bat viruses in caves all over the world. And now we have the bat virus that can infect humans. Hello? I don't believe in coincidences. So I, for one, am not surprised by this at all. So now we have the UK virologists warning that we could be expected to have a pandemic of such enormous magnitude by the year 2017. So I'm threatened by that date. Are they planning it? Are they making it happen? That's my brain, it asks. You know, because they say it's going to be so devastating, the consequences will be of biblical proportions. Well, here's what John Oxford, Dr. John Oxford, he's a virologist at Queen Mary Hospital, University of London, UK, said this in 2012. He said, "We must expect an animal-originated pandemic to hit the world within the next 5 years with potentially cataclysmic effects on the human race." End of quote. Why must we expect that? Unless they're messing around with stuff they shouldn't. Now, Dr. Oxford has been known to call this pandemic the super flu or the doomsday virus, and he predicts it will be a virus from a chicken or a pig. And he too says the spreading of the virus will be due to climate and modern travel. Are you more at ease knowing that the best virologists in science are working on genetic secrets of such viruses right now, or are you threatened by that? We're told that such pandemics will attack the young and healthy populations. So science is saying it is because these victims have healthy immune systems, which will create what they call a psychoteen storm. The virus will use the immune system reaction to propel the virus. In other words, the immune system kills the victim instead of the virus itself. So they've weaponized your own immune system, is what he's saying. That's pretty despicable, you know. That's like, you know, being betrayed with a kiss, isn't it? It's like healthcare is supposed to be protecting your health, when in fact, what are they doing? Tearing it down. So this is this gene cocktail. Scientists can splice the genes of a strawberry with a spider and hatch a spider with an abdomen that looks like a strawberry. You know, kind of crawls out of the bowl across your table. A walking strawberry. How nice. You know, it would take no stretch of the imagination to splice some dangerous pathogens to make new diseases and infect people with it. You know, how about the 2013 work of scientists of Utah State University who spliced DNA from the golden orb weaver spider into the genome of a goat named Freckles? Now when poor Freckles lactates, she has spider silk in her milk. So, you know, science writer, PhD on genetics, and editor of the Journal of Nature, his name's Adam Rutherford. This is what he says. Heads up to this. Listen carefully. He said, science is reinventing creation. He says, life is an astonishingly conservative system. He says DNA is the same in all species. The letters of the code are all the same. The encryption in the code is the same, and even the orientation of the molecules is the same. So he's warning us that synthetic biology or genetic engineering, which can take a virus or bacteria, make it into a weapon, is ethically not the same as science that can modify yeast to combat malaria. So people need to discern what medical science can use as good can also be used as evil. So they all have to do is make an adjustment to a receptor, and a virus that was only for the animal kingdom can now be for the human. Why would anybody want to do that? Would they want to do that so they can write about it in a medical journal, get accolades and sponsorship and grant money? Would they want to do that so they can invent a new virus to protect you from the thing that they created? I'm thinking that the motivations are varied. So what we are witnessing is the creation of modern pestilence, people. I, too, think we should really be prepared for anything, but not by using vaccines. That's an artificial infection. That goes against everything that God created for your immune system. Virologists know it weakens your immune system. It does. I personally ask questions, is it natural to inject the body, a product into a body that is disease combined with heavy metals and chemical preservatives? So vaccines are a scientific artificial infection, and when you get vaccinated, you are injected with the disease. And several virologists have admitted that vaccines do not encourage the immune system to make the antibody. It fools the immune system into thinking that the pathogen should be there. So it doesn't make an antibody. So at best, the whole concept of vaccines to protect you is a hypothetical myth. And at worst, it's medicine's most guarded secret that is hiding the truth for a lot of reasons. So do your homework before you do anything there with a vaccine. You know, any medical treatment, always, always ask, is this going to strengthen me or is this going to strengthen me and make me independent? Are there question marks as to the risk factor here? I mean, if no doctor will sign that vaccine, guarantee of, you know, it's a doctor's guarantee of vaccine safety is what it is. They're on the internet. You can pull them off. If a doctor won't sign that guaranteeing that the vaccine won't harm you in any way, shape or form, then what does that say? That says a lot to me. So you want to strengthen the immune system. You want to get the toxins out, all the heavy metals out that hinder and burden the system. And herbs can do that. They can dry out those heavy metals, radioactive particles, prescription residues, all that stuff. And strengthen your immune system. There are herbs that help it act properly. So check it out, thepowerherbs.com. They do have a whole section on organ cleansing. And there's a whole chapter in their catalog dedicated to that. And they show you step by step what the proper way to cleanse is for safety and success. Even on the website, there's a healthy guidelines page that you can get a quick synopsis and get the idea of what has to happen in order to do it right. It's not rocket science, but it's effective. It's God's promise to us. Herbs are here for the service of man. They are for the healing of the nations. Right? God warned us. He warned Israel in the Old Testament. You know, you do this, you get blessed. You do this. If you disobey, you get curses, and the curses will be the plagues of Egypt you're already afraid of and all the plagues that aren't written of in this book. That's a perpetual, you know, warning for all generations right there. So Psalms 91, folks, is a special prayer of protection against pestilence and all kinds of harm. I pray that almost every day. I should add it every day, but almost every day. So you're asking God to be your shield, to be your buckler, to hide you under the shadow of his wings so nothing can touch you. Not the arrows that fly by day or the pestilence that walks by night. Yeah? Special protection. And it's supernatural. Science doesn't know anything about that. But believers do. And believers have that faith, that inclination, that, you know what? People that don't believe, they have this weakness. They don't believe the things that are not of science. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. Because a mindset like that doesn't bow to the higher power, the creator. And you can't have a creation without a creator. Just not going to happen. Just not. So I, for one, look to the Lord for his good medicines. Psalms 104:14 says herbs are here for the service of man. You can look it up. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 to 30, he says herbs are meat, so they're really powerful. That's why they're bitter. So you eat just a little bit because they're really powerful. And if they weren't powerful, modern medicine wouldn't have used herbs to patent their drugs from. Now they make everything synthetic, but they isolated nutrients from herbs, chemicals from herbs, made synthetic copycats of them so they can patent. So, you know, it was God's original concept and idea. It's his copyright. And you can't get more perfect than what God creates, see. So I trust in the whole nutrition concept of herbs. Try not to isolate like drugs do, because that's why you get side effects, because you don't have all the other nutrition. It's been missing. So personally, it's a gentler way of dealing with things. And I like to pray and ask the Lord to bless these herbs, you know, that I'm using personally for me and my family and for others who ask for prayer. And you'll be amazed what the Lord can do with a little faith in his creation and what he can do. And so if you're interested in learning a little bit more on how you should cleanse, immune boost, and so forth, check it out, thepowerherbs.com, because I think now's the time. Now is the time to figure out how to strengthen and get off any prescription medicine that makes you a patient for life, that you're dependent on that drug for daily living. Because if for any reason you can't get that medicine anymore, what will you do? After a while, that body gets so dependent on those chemicals in those drugs, it's, you don't want to kick out a crutch, you're going to fall. So you got to figure a way to strengthen and get off of that. And personally, that's what I would be doing, because, you know, you feel like you're a hostage to the drug company. Not good. Not good. Strengthen, not weaken. That's what you want, right? God promises to strengthen with his good medicine. So I believe that. ThePowerHerbs.com is the website. Check it out or call toll-free 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Free catalog in the mail to you. All you got to do is ask. And if you have a health topic you want me to cover, feel free to let me know. I'll try to work it in to the show. And I see the hour has gone poof, just like that, just like that. But hey, you're empowered. You got tools, information. God's on your side. He's not going to let us down. And so pray it up and stay close to the Lord and mind the time. It grows short. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. So seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. And I think, Frank, don't we not have... There it is. Closing bumper. There it is. I hope you have a good weekend. And until next time, I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, wishing you all to be well. Oh, no.